When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. Welcome back, fans of the strange and the supernatural, to Whispers from the Dark. I am your guide, Raven Vale, and tonight we delve into a phenomenon that haunts not just abandoned houses or forgotten wilderness, but the very fabric of our modern lives. It is a sound that shouldn't exist, a low, persistent thrum that whispers through cities and isolated towns alike, driving some to the brink of madness and leaving countless others in a state of perpetual, unsettling unease. We speak tonight of the hum, the worldwide unexplained mystery that plagues the ears of millions, and the chilling story of one man whose sanity was systematically dismantled by its relentless, insidious presence. Picture, if you will, a quiet evening. You've settled down after a long day. The house is still. The street outside is calm. Then it begins. A low, pervasive drone. A faint to almost imperceptible rumble that seems to come from everywhere and nowhere at once. It's not the hum of your refrigerator, nor the distant rumble of traffic. It's a deeper, more fundamental vibration. A sound that resonates not just in your ears, but in the very bones of your skull, a relentless presence that drills into your sanity. This is the hum, a true global enigma. It is a low-frequency acoustic phenomenon that has plagued various locations around the world for decades. Its origins are shrouded in perplexing ambiguity, with early, well-documented cases emerging from diverse landscapes. Think of the late 1970s in Bristol, England, where countless residents reported a ceaseless, low-thrumming sound, audible only to a select few, yet powerful enough to disrupt lives. Or the early 1990s in Taos, New Mexico, where a significant portion of the population was tormented by a similar, mysterious drone. These early reports brought the hum into the public consciousness, but similar accounts have since surfaced from Australia, Canada, Ukraine, and countless other seemingly disparate corners of the globe, connecting them all in an invisible, shared torment. It is a sound that only a small percentage of the population can hear, typically 2 to 10%. But for those who do, it can become an inescapable, chilling torment. It's often worse indoors, as if the very walls amplify its insidious rhythm, trapping the listener within its resonant cage. It's loudest at night, when the usual ambient sounds of the city recede, leaving its low, thrumming resonance to dominate the silence. Imagine lying in your bed, desperate for sleep, but your mind is assaulted by a ceaseless vibration, a sound that feels less like an external noise and more like a parasitic frequency vibrating within your own body, clinging to your very being. Across the globe, scientists, acousticians, and government agencies have launched numerous investigations into the hum. In Taos, extensive research was conducted, involving sophisticated sound monitoring equipment. In Bristol, similar efforts were made, driven by public outcry. But time and again, the results have been bafflingly inconclusive. The hum often proves difficult to record with conventional equipment, leading some to suspect it's a sub-auditory frequency, something on the very edge of human perception, or even a purely psychological phenomenon. However, the sheer number of independent reports, often from people who have never heard of the hum in other locations, and the consistent description of the sound, argues strongly against it being purely a product of individual imagination or tinnitus. It is a real-world mystery, a modern enigma that defies easy categorization and resists every attempt at scientific explanation. So, what exactly is the source of this pervasive, eerie drone? The theories spun around the hum range, from the mundane to the truly terrifying, each one adding another layer to this unsolved mystery. Some researchers propose natural explanations. Perhaps it's the distant rumble of ocean waves, carried unusually far by atmospheric conditions, or deep geological activity, the silent grinding of tectonic plates, or the resonance of underground rivers and caverns. But these theories often fail to account for the localized nature of the hum in some areas, or its sudden, inexplicable appearance and disappearance. More unsettling man-made theories point fingers at secret military operations. Could it be a byproduct of extremely low-frequency ALF communication systems used by submarines, resonating through the earth and water? Or perhaps high-power sonic weapon research, designed for crowd control or psychological manipulation? The infamous HAARP array in Alaska, often linked to conspiracy theories about weather modification, is frequently cited as a potential source of low-frequency radiation that could cause such effects. The idea that a powerful, hidden technology could be inadvertently or deliberately causing such widespread distress is a chilling thought. Some also suggest it's the industrial hum of distant factories or gas pipelines, but again, the characteristics often don't match, and the sound can persist even when local industry is quiet. But the truly paranormal and supernatural theories are where the hum becomes genuinely terrifying. What if it's the sound of the Earth itself groaning, a planetary resonance signaling some impending cataclysm? Could it be a form of alien communication, a vast interstellar beacon that our primitive technology can't decipher, but our sensitive ears can detect? Or, even more chillingly, what if it's a dimensional bleed through, a resonance from another reality, a low-frequency echo of a parallel world pressing against our own? Some speculate it could be the sound of ancient beings stirring beneath the earth, a primal rumble from creatures awakened by human activity. The idea of a sound so fundamental, so pervasive, that it suggests the very ground beneath our feet is alive, and perhaps not benign, is enough to send a shiver down the spine. The global reach of the hum is perhaps its most chilling aspect. It transcends borders, cultures, and landscapes. A person in a remote village in Scotland can suffer the same auditory torment as someone in a bustling city in Australia or a quiet suburb in the United States. This shared, invisible agony connects disparate communities by an unseen, unheard force. It transforms individual torment into a collective modern folklore, a global mystery that science struggles to comprehend. It was this very phenomenon, this unexplained noise, that began the tragic descent of Arthur Jenkins. He was, by all accounts, an ordinary man, a librarian with a quiet life, an appreciation for silence, a fondness for order. Then, one Tuesday evening, it began. It was faint at first, a low thrum, a distant vibration. He initially dismissed it, but it lingered. It wasn't quite a sound you heard with your ears, but one you felt in your chest, a deep resonance that vibrated through the floorboards and up into the very bones of his skull. He'd shift, adjust, convinced it was external, an anomaly that would surely pass. But it didn't pass. As days bled into nights, the low thrum intensified. It was always there, a persistent, unseen tormentor. Sleep became a desperate pursuit. He'd toss and turn, the low thrum vibrating through his mattress, through his pillow, filling the cavern of his skull. The silence he once cherished became a lie, an illusion shattered by this pervasive, low-frequency hum. He began a frantic, obsessive search for the source. He'd patrol his house at all hours, unplugging every appliance, pressing his ear to walls, convinced it was a faulty wire, a hidden pipe, anything mundane that could be fixed. He would stand in his yard at midnight, straining to locate it, peering into the shadows. But his neighbors, seeing him, would only wave, oblivious. This became Arthur's first great torment. No one else could hear it. Or so he believed. The isolation began its insidious work. When he tried to explain it to friends, to his doctor, they offered kind, but ultimately dismissive, smiles. Perhaps it's just your ears, Arthur. Tinnitus? Stress? Tinnitus, he knew, was a ringing, a buzzing. This was a hum, a deep, eerie drone that vibrated his very being. The doctors prescribed tranquilizers, then sleeping pills, which only dulled his awareness without truly silencing the sound. The disbelief in others' eyes, the gentle suggestions of psychological distress, began to chip away at his sanity. Was he truly losing his mind? Or were they all simply deaf to the unexplained phenomenon that was now his constant companion? His work suffered. The quiet sanctuary of the library became a torture chamber. The low hum would reverberate between the towering stacks of books, a mocking counterpoint to the peace he once found there. He found it impossible to concentrate, the words on the page blurring as the vibration filled his head. He grew irritable, snapping at patrons, his once calm demeanor replaced by a simmering frustration. His colleagues began to look at him with concern, then with cautious distance. The sound started to take on a life of its own in his mind. It wasn't just a vibration, it was a presence. It followed him. When he drove, it was there. When he visited his sister in another town, it followed him. He tried sleeping in his car, parked miles from any known industry, but the hum found him there too. He began to believe it was attached to him, personally, a parasite, a sentient frequency that had latched onto his very being. Paranoia bloomed in the fertile ground of his sleep deprivation and isolation. What if it wasn't just a sound? What if it was a signal, a message only he was meant to hear? Or worse, a sonic weapon aimed precisely at him, driving him to the brink? The thought gnawed at him, twisting the fabric of his reality. He started to watch his neighbors, their quiet lives, suddenly suspect. Were they in on it? Were they part of the unseen force that was tormenting him? Why could they sleep so soundly while he walked the floor, a prisoner of this global enigma? One night, the hum seemed to crescendo, becoming an almost unbearable pressure. It felt as though his skull would burst. He threw his hands over his ears, but it was no use. The sound was inside. He felt it coursing through his veins, vibrating his very teeth. He screamed, but the sound was swallowed by the omnipresent drone. In a fit of desperate rage, convinced the hum was emanating from the very structure of his home, he began to tear his house apart. He ripped out electrical sockets, smashed walls with a hammer, frantically searching for the hidden device, the invisible transmitter. Plaster dust mingled with his sweat and tears as he descended into a maelstrom of destruction, driven by the relentless, unseen assault. He didn't find the source, only ruin. The neighbors, alerted by the crashing sounds and his incoherent shouts, called the authorities. Arthur was found among the wreckage of his living room, covered in dust and blood from self-inflicted wounds, muttering about the whispers and the vibrations. His eyes, once kind and intelligent, were now wide with a terrifying, wild fear, reflecting a mind utterly fractured. Arthur Jenkins was institutionalized. The official diagnosis was severe psychosis, brought on by sleep deprivation and stress. The doctors spoke of auditory hallucinations and delusional paranoia. They medicated him, trying to silence the voices in his head. But for Arthur, the hum was no hallucination. It was real. It was there, a constant companion in the sterile confines of his padded room. He could still feel it, vibrating through the cold floor, through the walls, a low, maddening thrum that no medication could truly mute. Arthur's tragic descent into madness serves as a chilling testament to the profound impact an unexplained phenomenon can have, not just on a city, but on the delicate architecture of a single human mind. It underscores the terrifying vulnerability we all share when confronted with something that defies our understanding, something that whispers its insidious presence into our very souls. And as the night deepens and the whispers from the dark grow louder, one cannot help but wonder, is the hum merely an environmental anomaly, a trick of the ear, or something far more profound? Is it a warning, a prelude, or simply the silent, omnipresent roar of a world that is not as quiet or as empty as we believe? What unseen frequencies are we exposed to? What sounds are we not hearing that might hold the key to this enduring global enigma? And if you listen closely enough, especially in the quiet hours of the night, can you hear it? That low, persistent, unsettling hum.